we are all educators, so we all have an education background, but two of them have ag degrees. So it's kind of the perfect combination for them to come out and use this information that they have about land and then coordinate also programming with the students.
This is Born in the Bend, highlighting local gyms, entrepreneurs, and all-around awesome stories. Growing up here
and starting businesses in downtown Richmond,
we can't help but notice our little Texas town is becoming a hub of creative activity and a tourist destination for folks all over Fort Bend County. I'm your host, Emily Shearer.
And I'm your co-host, Amy Frederick. Our experience as locals and entrepreneurs has made us realize Richmond is on the rise.
And as the county seat and historic heart of Fort Bend, Richmond is the perfect backdrop to bring you stories that were
born in the Bend.
We are back, Aim and M, back in the recording studio for yet another episode of Born in the Bend. We are here with episode 4 of season 5, and I am very excited to share today's long-awaited guest. But before we introduce our guest, we, as always, with my trusty cohort in crime, Miss Amy Frederick. Amy,
yes.
Delightful to see you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've actually spent all day together today. It's been really nice.
We've been drinking all day from coffee to cocktails and now.
And now, yeah, today we are testing out the Topo Chico's, I don't know, the new flavored Topo Chico's that they have out, the lime with mint extract. And I will say, I'm excited to test these out come beach time this summer. I found them very refreshing.
Very tasty. Very tasty.
So we have that we're sipping on, and we've done coffees. We did coffee at the block. We have had cocktails over at a new lovely place. Do we share?
Yeah. Well, we talked about it on episode 1.
Okay.
We said it would be opening.
And it has now opened. So we went over to Lit Book Bar in downtown Richmond and enjoyed a cocktail.
What do you have?
I had two. I tried out their Bloody Mary Martini, which I love a Bloody Mary and I love a martini. And I was a little unsure of how that would turn out. It was so complex and light at the same time without making it sound more confusing than that is. And then my trusty favorite, Clover Club.
And that's such a pretty drink.
It is a pretty drink. And the egg white always makes it so frothy and delightful.
Yeah.
And what did you have?
Well, I actually was attracted to your Bloody Mary Martini. And I, thankfully, you obliged when I asked to taste it. And I was like, oh, I think I want that. Because it kind of went with what I was eating. So that's what I had. Yeah. And it was delicious.
Very nice. Very nice. So today's guest, we have October Smith from Log Anchors Ranch. She is the ranch manager out there. It's in the heart of Richmond, really.
Yeah, Richmond.
And October comes to us. She did her schooling at HBU, which is now HCU. We had a whole breakdown and discussion of which do you call it? I don't know. We're going to go with HBU because that's what her diploma says.
Yeah.
So there you go. She taught with Lamar CISD for many, many years. She opened Frost Elementary. She was with Lamar for 15 years. She worked at Calvary and is now the ranch manager out at Long Acres Ranch. She's been out there for about 7 years and has created all sorts of amazing science programming, namely the ology courses that they offer out there, as well as help with 4-H, FFA, archery, ag extension, all of these wonderful things. And we just cannot wait to share Long Acres' story with all of our listeners here today. So cheers, y'all. First of all, October, I just want to say welcome, finally.
Thanks.
This has been an interview a long time coming, and you have been incredibly patient with our calendar.
You're welcome.
So thank you for coming out. I am very excited to share with the people of Fort Bend all about Long Acres. So first of all, what the heck is it?
So it's kind of hard to explain, but I'll do my best. So Long Acres is Long Acres Ranch. We're about 780-ish acres
on
the Brazos River. Yes, located right in the heart of Fort Bend County. So we focus mainly on our public schools and private schools coming out and doing programming. We are private property, so everything is done through a reservation system or scheduling system.
So I'm familiar with Long Acres. My daughter still is attending urology courses. My son, I think, has now aged out. Or if he does go, he is in middle school, so I don't hear what his day looks like anymore because he's too cool for me, unless he needs something. But I had no idea that was that big.
Yes.
But to be fair, I don't know if I know what an acre looks like. and so when I would, like last year, it was with Shady Oak, and I would drive her out there, and you go down this, you get let in a gate, and then you eventually end up on a dirt road. And I hear my husband's voice saying, you have to drive slow on a dirt road. You can't drive fast. This is not Houston.
Yes.
And you always would have this amazing, kind staff ready there to greet us. And then off she would go with her class to learn something. And in turn, I would then learn all about it. So I'm excited to share all of this. This is literally in the heart of Richmond, though.
Yes.
And nobody would know it.
Correct.
This is, it's now, is it Richmond Parkway? Is that what we're calling it now?
It used to be Williams Way, right?
And prior to that, it was Ransom.
Ransom Road.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, like, I'm still in Ransom Road territory. Yes.
That's before my time.
And now I have to be like, oh, I think they call it Williams Way now. Yes. And then somebody will always correct me. And I'm like, listen, I've been around here long enough to know. But it is right past the Justice Center and kind of tucked behind a little levee.
Yes.
And it is this massive piece of ranch property right around. I mean, there's all sorts of suburban development and subdivisions popping up.
Yes.
So I have to imagine then, because we experience this a bit with Pecan Grove now that there's so much development going on around us, you must be getting quite an influx in new residents of Long Acres, whether it be rabbits or squirrels or
the four-legged
possums
kind.
Yes. Or deer.
Looking for new homes?
Looking for new homes. Yes, absolutely. So we are in the middle of town. So we do. We have quite a few deer. In fact, we did a quick, like, one night, went out and counted 89 deer on the property.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is a little more than we should have. But they do run the river, so they're not, they don't always stay on the property. They try to level themselves out. We've got a lot more right now, but they'll level themselves out and do pretty good. But
so I feel like I'm going to sound like a true Texan, which in a lot of cases, this is not me, but I've learned enough in the circles that I run in. Does that mean you have to have management tags for these deer? For those that don't know, that has to do with hunting.
Right. We do not right now manage them at all. So if we were to manage them, we would work with A&M.
Okay.
And figure out something. But right now, we're not at that point yet. We're constantly looking for CWD, which is chronic wasting disease, and making sure that we don't see any of that on the property. And right now, we're clean.
Okay. And then y'all back up to, it's a part of the Brazos River, but isn't it more like that Oxbow situation?
We do. Yes. No, but there's an Oxbow on each side. So the Oxbow that's over by the flyover on 359 and then the Oxbow on the other side. So it kind of looks like Mickey Mouse ears.
So if you've ever had lunch or dinner at Pier 36,
at Pier 36
you know what we're talking about.
Or the Soil Supermarket, Living Earth. Yes. Yes.
So you back up to that, and so then the deer can just go along the river.
They'll go along the river, yes.
And I would assume during the summer, where everything was quite dry, they could just have their run.
They walk
all
along
the
beach.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. It's ranch land. Always been ranch land?
It has always been ranch land, way back to Jane Long. So Jane Long was the first one to settle the property. So she owned the property all in that area, thousands of acres. And it actually bordered Mirabeau Lamar's property. And then she kept it in her family until the Wessendorfs bought it in 1939. And then in 1939, it stayed with the Wessendorfs until when Mr. Joe C. and Lois Henderson, when they both passed away, the property was deeded over to the Henderson-Wessendorf Foundation.
Okay.
And so that's where it remains today. And their last wishes were that this property never be developed so that it remains a green space for people to come out and enjoy nature, but in a private setting. So we have to, you know, play within some parameters there.
And now that we've seen, I mean, because I remember what this area looked like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I'm so incredibly grateful that they did say, in a private setting, this should not be developed because, as we covered earlier, you are surrounded now on, like, all sides.
There are roads coming in.
Yep.
There's everything coming in. And not that we don't love development, but it's really refreshing to be able to know, hey, there's a sanctuary of green space right around the corner. So you guys serve as this kind of wildlife and nature sanctuary, but you also, because I know Sophie has come out, you teach classes out there.
Yes. So the Wessendorfs were very big into education and believed in supporting education privately and publicly in this area. And so that was kind of one of the things that the foundation and the board said, we want to maintain these relationships with education, and said, if we given the opportunity, what kind of programs can we build? And so that's kind of where I came in about 7 years and started working on programming. And it is not just me. We have a team of, you know, there's six of us out there that work on developing these programs. And so we have, like I said, the public schools, private schools, but then we also have our homeschoolers, and they come out and do our ology classes. And our goal is kind of to touch the children many times throughout their education career. So we see first graders that do quail eggs. We actually should be receiving them tomorrow. And they'll go out to the elementary schools. They'll hatch these quail. We'll bring them back to the ranch and release them out on the ranch.
Are these the bobwhites?
Bobwhite quail, yes.
Okay, I remember this program from a few years ago.
Yes.
That's exciting.
So the first graders do that, but then they get to come back in third grade and they go fishing. And then they come back in fifth grade and they get to do science. And we're working on building our eighth grade program. So hopefully we'll be releasing that next year.
So talk to me a bit about the ologies things.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I'm getting it from Soph, which I adore her interpretation of her day out at the ranch. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I wonder what that was originally called. But she will go on and on and on. The most recent one had to do with fish. And I think they did fish printing, maybe?
We did ichthyology.
Okay. I don't blame her for not remembering that word.
Right, right.
not going to give her a hard time now.
Is that the science of fish?
It is the study of fish.
Oh, the study
The study, ology is the study of.
And proud mom moment. Fish. Sophie was the only one to catch a fish that day.
Oh.
Yay. Good job.
Sophie.
Yes.
So yes, we can cheer her on. But yeah, she printed a fish.
Yes. We did fish printing and several other things.
What is that? How do you print a fish?
You roll it with paint or ink?
So it's an ancient Chinese art form called gayutaku. And yes, you put ink on the fish and then you put the paper on it and preserve the fish. And so that was, again, an ancient Chinese art form. And they did that so that they could share these gigantic fish that they were catching.
And I guess if you didn't have a piece of paper long enough to print that fish, nobody could call you
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Hey, man, I couldn't find a piece of paper that big to print. So.
Yes, you are spot
on. The original fishing story.
Yep. Yeah, it was this big.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So was Soph's the only fish that was able to get printed, or did you have some lying around?
We had them set up.
So she was the only one who caught.
We actually have silicone fish to do the printing on.
We've
done real printing with adults, but it's a little bit more involved.
Well, and I would imagine there's a certain amount of squeamishness.
Yes, even the adults. Yes.
Well, I remember when Caroline was there at Shady Oak, one of my memories, because it's something she actually came home with, was a little clay bowl.
Clay pot, yep.
Yeah.
So that's what I was helping with this morning. Was we do clay pots. So we take them down to the river and show them the clay and how Native Americans used the clay to actually make pots. And then they get to make a little pot and take it home.
And it's not just an art lesson.
Correct.
Like, I would assume with the clay pot situation, you might also talk about things like erosion or whatever else you talk about with rivers and dirt.
Deposition.
Or like,
I was going to come up with some more words.
What organic matter is in our soil here in the region.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Sand, clay, gravel. We talk about the different particle sizes. So all science-y related things.
So I mean, we all know, or I think most parents know, if you've been around children, we like to work art in because it kind of sinks in a little bit better. But there is that science aspect.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. There's been a few others that have made a mark. And I'm, of course, now that I'm on the spot, I'm going to be like,
well, archery, the kids get to, I mean, I know we'll probably get there later, but they try archery as part of the program that you, yes. at least Shady Oak did.
So we have a little bit more leeway with our private schools and so, and our homeschoolers where we do archery, or we have a time where they can actually put their hands on it just because it's set up for our homeschoolers. And we have a club, an archery club with them, and they participate most of the year. Their season is pretty long. So it starts in September and goes through March. And then the state tournament is in March. And so the kids that come out see that. And so we always try to incorporate it at least once to let them put their hands on it and see what it's like. We use kind of mini compound bows, but they're 20-pound draw. So for the little kids, it's hard. They can't. I mean, if they're under fifth grade, it's hard to draw that bow back. But it's fun. And we show them that it's an Olympic sport. It's not just a, you know, this random thing.
So with the bow, when you talk about that, is that so... There's like the Robin Hood bow.
Yes, a right? long bow.
Like that's what yes. we're all thinking when I say archery and bow and yes. arrow. We're all picturing a little fox yes. in a cute little green hat pulling a bow right now. But then there's also compound bows.
Yes.
So.
And there's also recurve.
Yes. Didn't know there was a third.
Yes. So we use a compound.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is a little bit more mechanical.
It is. It actually has wheels on it and gears. So the drawback is a 20-pound bow. So it's like
20 pounds of pressure?
20 pounds, yes.
Of resistance?
Yes, 20 pounds of resistance. So imagine taking two milk jugs full of milk and trying to pull them back, yes, and then letting them go.
Well, years of helping unload groceries, I think I could handle
this. You can do
this.
It. Yes. So it's really not enough to, it would harm somebody or something, but probably not kill them.
Got it. So you do archery. Do you do any kind of shooting as well? Like
we
like
do. We use air rifles. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have some air rifles. So we do the student air rifle program, which is through, both programs are through TPWD, which is Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. They have developed curriculum over these. And so we do the curriculum with them. Now, SAR, Student Air Rifle Program, is not very big in Texas. We're actually trying to change that. It's very big in Kentucky. But this year, we are hosting a workshop this summer to try and get more people certified and doing this in, they can do it in the schools. They can also do it like we do it with our homeschoolers outside of different organizations can pick it up as well.
So on that same thread, I do know, at least I know you used to also have a hunter certification course.
Yes, that is ongoing. Yes,
we have. Still happening.
Still happening. We have about between four and six a year, just depending on how much interest we get. So anyone that was born after 1971 has to be hunter education certified. And so we run that class. So it's mostly kids, but it is adults that have not had gotten their certification yet.
So I don't know if you know this, we're in my father-in-law's law office and he's been hounding me to get my hunter certification. And I told him, until there's a gift shop, it's like going to take all morning. Is there snack breaks? Like one day you might see me there. And
we
you could just maybe set
lunch.
Some like stickers out or something. Right. Just let me have.
At, the facilities at Long.
A little stroll.
The facilities are quite nice.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We have a visitor center. So that is our main building. Unfortunately, we don't have a gift shop.
Yet.
One day. One day. You just send me a text. Hey, girl, we got a gift shop now. Come on down. So speaking of the visitor center.
Yes.
Many of our listeners might have been out there because you guys host a ton of different things or are the venue for a lot of different things, whether it's
chamber
events, the Develop Bridgemond, small business things. I've been out there for garden club events. It's a huge piece of real estate
that
beautiful. Can be utilized.
It is. So the visitor center and the ranch in general are focused not only education, but also nonprofits, since that is what the foundation focuses on is nonprofits as well. So we do have a lot of use of that space for nonprofit meetings. We don't typically do anything outside of the nonprofit sector. We have a few exceptions. Again, the Richmond business meetings are held out there because most of the people that come to those are the nonprofit businesses.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's why we do that. But yes, it is a wonderful space for that to large rooms can seat about 100, and we have a, you know, nice catering kitchen that can be utilized to serve food out of. So it's pretty much booked every day.
Really? Wow. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's a beautiful facility. Yeah, if you get a chance to attend a business breakfast or a nonprofit event, mm-hmm. definitely go. There's one room that's just windows on all sides. And
our pavilion, yeah. Yes, it is. It's very nice. We can open it up when it's, you know, the 2 months out of the year when it's nice, open up the doors and let the breeze in. So, and we've also done a few fundraisers out there for, again, nonprofit agencies. So Gigi's Playhouse was out last weekend doing their fun run walk. We had Lunches of Love out the year before, but they got to do their at their namesake at Gray Elementary this year.
Oh, nice. We've covered a bit about where it's at, where it's come from. Walk us through, what does a typical day look like for you as ranch manager? I mean, are you just wearing 18 hats like every minute of the day?
Yes. So today I got to ride on the trailer and I got to tell the kids about the river all morning long. So yes, it does. I pretty much have my hand in anything that goes on. So overseeing everything that we do, from scheduling to being out with the kids or creating the programs or working with the people who show up that are having their meeting space, or all of a sudden the lock on the bathroom doesn't work. Yes.
So you really are managing all the things. So with the programs, is it just you? Do you have a team of people that help you with the programs and activities?
Absolutely. Could not do it by myself. So yes, we do have a team. So we have our front desk person, Melissa. She does all of our scheduling, puts it on our calendar. We have one who, Jennifer, is our social media person, and then also does the communicating with the schools and the parents that come out, sends out all of the information once they're actually booked. And then we have three others that are our education coordinator type people. One of those is actually an A&M employee. And so he is from A&M, but he is permanently on our property and has an office there.
And is that through like Ag Extension, or is it like through an A&M college?
So it is through NRI, which is the Natural Resource Institute at A&M. But we work very closely with the Extension office. It at one point, somehow it was under the umbrella of the Extension office, but you know, they're constantly moving things around.
Yep.
So he is through NRI, but we work very closely with the Extension office and collaborate with them.
So NRI, I'm assuming he's also kind of on site to help count deer and
he is,
things like that, like Game and Wildlife, I would imagine.
Yes. He is our connection to the land and the wildlife aspect of the ranch. Ironically or not ironically, we are all educators. So we all have an education background, but two of them have ag degrees. So it's kind of the perfect combination for them to come out and use this information that they have about land and then coordinate also programming with the students. But yes, he does. He wears many hats too.
Do you ever do anything with like master gardeners, or is it just strictly like more natural resource? Like, I think nature and I, then it automatically goes into gardening.
Right. It
like,
does.
I'm like, what
it
else
does.
Do I put in the dirt?
Yes.
Flowers, worms. I don't know.
So we do work with the master gardeners, not in the way that you would probably think though. So we, again, work with the Extension office. So we have 4-H activities out there. In fact, we have a 4-H outdoor club that is sponsored by Long Acres Ranch. That it's mostly homeschoolers because we do have it during the day. But with that being said, the Extension office can use our facilities for any of their public meeting type things that they have to come out and learn different things. We've had a hog information workshop one time out at the ranch. So just different things that come through there. Master gardeners have come in. They help with our FFA programs, believe it or not. We have CDE, which is a career development education.
I'll take your word on it.
Okay. So we run a contest twice a year and give out scholarships to students who are involved in FFA in their school. And so our master gardeners come out and help with that, help run that. But
I mean, it could be a lot of fun if you ever do like a fruit tree scramble or something like that. I don't know if
you've
ever been out to one of those where you have to try to purchase one of those. It's cutthroat.
Yes.
You could just hide them out on those 700 plus acres.
Like an Easter egg hunt, but it's like
Lemon tree hunt.
Yeah, if you can haul it all the way back, it's yours. So you talked a bit about 4-H, and I'm going to be very transparent here, and I just kind of lumped 4-H and FFA together in my head. They're similar but different.
Yes. So very similar programs, but one is just public school, and then one is open to the public.
Okay. You also talked about an outdoor challenge earlier while we were getting ready to set up our mics. So what is an outdoor challenge? It's like Ninja Warrior.
Nature and wildlife. So the kids, 4-H, which is anyone is open to be in 4-H through the extension office. And we have a very big, Fort Bend County has a very big involved 4-H organization, different clubs that meet. And we are hosting the 4-H challenge for the state at Long Acres Ranch this summer. So they'll come out and they'll do, there's several categories. They narrow it down at the very end, but they have to prepare. I think there's 24 categories and they only run 12 competitions. So they have to be prepared for all of them until the last minute. It'll get narrowed down a little bit. These competitions include fishing, kayaking, biking, outdoor survival skills.
So far, I can do two semi good.
So children from all over the state will come.
Children from all over the state will come and compete. We had last year close to 300.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And it's a fun competition. They come as teams. And so they earn points as a team and then also individually for the things that they compete in.
Well, of all the fantastic properties in Texas, that must be a really huge honor to be able to host
it
that.
It is. Yeah. It absolutely is. Yes.
We've covered the archery. We've covered all the hunting. We've covered the 4-H, the FFA. We've covered some of the ologies, which I think one of the last times we talked, when I know I shared the story before, Sophie, I'm going to be completely honest, she used to hate coming to Long Acres because you had a wasp problem. And we talked about, I don't know if you remember this. You had a wasp. Now, the child is not allergic to wasps. The wasp never landed on her. She saw a wasp.
Yes.
From a distance and decided outdoor life is not for
yes.
me. And now, first of all, handled the wasp problem from like 3 years ago. But now that she has come back, she just, it's like, especially again, she caught that fish, y'all, and nobody else in her class. She is like, I am an outdoors woman. And let me tell you all about ologies. And this has been, as a mom who clearly is not a science, I'm not a STEM mom. It does not compute. It's not that I don't support it. I don't know how to support you in this, child.
Give yourself more credit.
I'm great with humanities. If you want to know art history, I'm great with that. I don't know how to support any kind of science or ology or anything like that. So to have this resource out there for her, where she has clearly developed since first grade, she's now in third, of this is really cool. I really like doing this. And also, I don't have to go out and get dirty or try to figure out how do I learn about this in a way that I can then explain it to my child. And this is just something that her private school offers in tandem with y'all.
Yes.
I think it's so great.
Yes.
And I can't be the only parent that feels this way. I can't be the only non-science, non-outdoors woman parent in Fort Bend County.
You are not. We hear that a lot, actually, from our moms that come out with our homeschoolers. They say, this is something we would not be doing at our house. Like, I couldn't even think of this, let alone, I don't want the mess in my house.
No. I mean, I can make homemade pasta with you, but I cannot teach you how to print a fish. I cannot teach you about river and shoreline erosion, or I can't teach. You did one on spiders.
Yes.
Arachnology. Not going to do the spider one. For sure not. I watched Arachnophobia and was scarred for the rest of my life. So, I mean, to have that resource, I as a parent cannot say thank you enough because I'm not learning it. I'm not teaching it.
Right.
I'm not. So thank you on behalf of the Shearer fam.
You're welcome.
You've got some upcoming events.
We do.
You typically do an annual fishing, or is it just... I only pay attention to the fishing, and I'm like, oh, it must happen every year.
So we try to do it in the spring and in the fall. Okay. We try to have a family fishing day in the spring and the fall. This fall was a little crazy for us and we had to cancel it. And we've already moved our spring fishing event once, but it is coming up May 10th. We've got it on the calendar. But not only that, again, we do the hunters education classes. And then we have a couple things coming up with TPWD. One of them is we're doing a prescribed burn for those who have property. These are open for people to register and come. Typically, it's found on the TPWD website, but then we also put it on our website as well.
So a prescribed burn.
If you have property and you need to do some land clearing, you can do a prescribed burn. And so they're talking about the benefits of it and where to go to get the resources, the people to come out and actually do the burn on your property.
Because we wouldn't want just any
Correct.
Property owner
just gotta burning get this up their cleared land. Off,
especially after a drought summer. Yes. And yes. then a very rainy fall, yes. which I'm guessing also probably played a bit into having to cancel your fall fish.
Yes. Yes.
Good luck finding a dry day this yes. last fall.
And spring at this point.
You know, it has.
It's been weird.
We've had a lot of weather.
Yes.
Can't wait to see what summer brings.
I don't know about that.
So if I want to find out more, I know I can follow you on social media.
Yes.
But for all of our listeners, how is the best way to get in the know? If I'm a homeschool parent or if my child is in public or private and I'm like, hey, I would love my child to have this resource. How do we best plug in?
You can go to our website, which is longacresranch.org. And we have a calendar on there that has listings of our information that's upcoming events. Again, a lot of it is done through the schools, so you're not going to necessarily see as much school information on there as you would what our public events are, those that can register for those events. And then, like you said, we have Facebook and we have a mail list. We're also on Instagram. But our newsletter goes out twice a week, and we keep that updated more than anything on what events are coming up. So we always give information on what Ology is going out and then what upcoming events the ranch has. But then down at the very bottom, Jennifer is great about putting in things in the area, in the Houston area. It has events that you can go out and find
and
as well.
You'll send that newsletter to anyone who...
Yes, you can go on our website and sign up for it. On longacresranch.org. If you click on the contact us, there's a big button at the top that says sign up for our newsletter. And it goes out twice a month. So it's bi-weekly. So it's not too much. It's just right.
Did you cover this already? How, if I wanted to get on and get more information on archery or to even join, you have a team?
We do have a team. We have a link on our website that has information. Typically, the best thing is to call and talk to somebody, Melissa, who answers the phone or, you know, what can...
Or you, if you're wearing that hat.
Or me, if I happen to be answering the phone that day, which sometimes I am.
Sure. Yes.
So forgive me if you already covered this, but if I'm not with a homeschool group or I'm not at a... have a child at a school who already is taking part in your programming, can the public set up a tour or not so much?
Not so much. Okay. Not at this time. It's really based on reservation. So at this time, unless you're doing one of the activities that we have that you register for.
So it's best to get on the mailing list and just learn about the events and things.
Learn about the events and things.
And I would say, based on my experience, every time I've been out, it's either with a child or at an event. I mean, just staff alone, you guys are hustling to, okay, we got this breakfast event going on over here. Hang on, we got to get the spiders ready for the kiddos over here. And we got to get, you know, the trailer pulled down for this.
Right.
So it's not necessarily you don't want to welcome the public. It is like, Correct. Hey, man, it's all hands on deck. Yes. The spiders are loose.
Yes.
Please don't ever say that to me, by the way.
Or me. Okay. I'm definitely an arachnophobic.
But we do, we do see every third grader and every fifth grader in Lamar. And so that kind of says something about, you know, those being able to touch those kids. And so they have that opportunity to come out. And
Lamar is, what did I hear most recently? It is now a hyper growth school district, I think is the phrase that they used. So, I mean, not that you don't want to necessarily welcome Fort Bend or KDISD.
Right.
It is also Lamar's hyper growth. And that amount of school children that are coming through, even at those touch points of, what was it, first, third, fifth, and
soon to be eighth.
That's a lot of kids on top of homeschool and the private schools. I'm just like, staffing wise, the emails, the phone calls. Oh, I cannot imagine.
It is definitely, you feel it when one of our wheels is
squeaky or squeaky. Loose.
Yep. Yep. You do.
Man. But. Okay. My final question for you is, what is your favorite ology? Oh. If you could just, top three even.
Okay.
Your favorites of like, if it's this kind of weather, or if we have these kinds of, like, this is my favorite third grade or fifth grade or.
Okay. So growing up, I was super big into rocks. So I would say
geology?
Probably geology or mineralogy as a kid, just because I have an obnoxious rock collection.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like suitcases. When I got married, my husband's like, what are we
like
doing?
Like, you literally have bags of rocks.
Yes, yeah. I literally have bags of rocks.
I don't know who listens to these, but I will say that it is something that we do bring back from trips. I don't want to necessarily out myself because I don't know what the rules are, but we like to put a few in our pocket. Yep. I hear you on that. I recently found out, who was I talking to? And they said they usually lick the rocks. And they were somewhere, because you can tell a lot about a rock.
You can.
By licking it.
We don't encourage the children to lick the rocks.
And that is now a new thing that they are starting to like dissuade people from licking rocks. And it could have, I remember what it was. My sister had gone to Stonehenge and they said, please do not lick. And my sister was like, never once would I have ever considered licking it. And now it is like a compulsion. I must lick it now. But it's like a whole thing on, you learn a lot about it.
It like salt content, mineral content.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and if it's a bone, it will stick to your tongue.
Because of the...
I don't know. Porousness of it, maybe? But my aunt was on a dinosaur dig, and that's how she could tell if it was a bone or not, is it sticks to your tongue.
When I went on my dinosaur dig, they didn't tell us that.
Oh. Well, she went on one, and she still has it in the little Ziploc baggie. And
don't oust your aunt. She probably couldn't.
Well, she told her class. She was a teacher.
Oh, okay.
So it was a whole thing. She didn't let them lick it, but she showed them.
Got it.
I mean, you don't want a bunch of like kids' mouths all over your dinosaur bone.
No.
I mean, I get that. But yeah, you can lick rocks, and that's how you can also find fossils and bone fragments is... if it sticks to your tongue.
All right.
The more you know.
The more you know. Well, since we're going more the natural route, I have a last question for you too, because we didn't really touch a whole lot on the wildlife. Could you tell us your favorite wildlife on the ranch? Because I know a lot.
There's
a lot of wildlife.
It's mostly the native stuff. So we've got deer and coyotes, and unfortunately, feral hogs will run the river, skunks, possums, raccoons. We've actually seen some fox out there before. I haven't seen any lately, but yes, we've seen fox. I would say possums are really growing on me. I think they're underrepresented.
I would go with you on that. My mom had some issues with possums, and we've had to trap a lot of them and call out, is it somebody with the county that comes and picks them up in the cage?
Animal control or?
And because it's like, I don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Like, where am I going to release it? Back into Pecan Grove?
Long Acres Ranch.
No. We'll just drop it off at the fence.
Yes. Apparently,
how many video cameras
Del
do y'all
do
have?
That?
Oh, well.
Let's not encourage that.
No.
But they are. They're cute little buggers.
Yes.
And I've heard they don't ever actually carry rabies.
No, they don't.
And they're really great, I think, for mosquitoes and ticks.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, really, we really should learn to embrace the possum.
Yes.
Because they would be a Texan's best friend if we would let them be.
Right.
But they're not.
They're not.
They're just so goofy looking.
Well, and they hiss, and that scares people.
Mm-hmm. I had one scream at me, and it was terrifying.
That is their defense mechanism.
But other than that, they are not an aggressive animal.
No, they are not. And they typically will not bite. That, again, that's why they don't carry rabies.
I don't like the typically in that statement, but I'm going to just keep moving on. They're great Texas critters. They are. Maybe this should be the movement.
Okay.
Like, save the Texas possum.
Yeah.
For ticks and
I
think we just picked our official animal of the podcast.
We're not going to buy a pet, okay? well, Thank you so much, October, for coming out, for enlightening us on all of the ologies of everything that Long Acres does.
You're welcome.
It's such a great and amazing resource for the people of Fort Bend.
It absolutely is.
And the students.
Yes.
Especially now, I think there's so many subdivisions. There's no more nature. Like, I mean, when I was a kid, I remember you used to have those tiny little frogs and things like that because everything was still a little bit wild. That was only 6 years ago-ish. Got to think how old I am. And now, I mean, like my kids don't know how to play in a giant field half the time or what to look for and be observant. Yes. So thank you for being that resource for our children.
Welcome. Yes. Well, thank you for having me. This is great.
Episodes of Born in the Bend are funded in part by Develop Richmond.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Born in the Bend podcast. If you could, head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. We would love 5 stars. We want you to follow Born in the Bend on Instagram at Born in the Bend. And for show notes, partnership opportunities, and more, visit us at borninthebend.com. Born in the Bend is produced and mixed by the team at Speakerbox Media. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. Cheers, y'all.